morning. You've tuned into The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. My name's Jack Peterson, and I am joined today by Carrie Logan on mic number two. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Jack. Nice to be here with you today.
It's nice to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. Last you were here, you were filling in for me, I think.
Correctamundo. Okay. Yep.
Well, how are things?
Things are just groovy, and I'm really glad it kind of rained last night.
At long last.
Yeah.
Yes, the long forecast rain finally arrived about a little bit late.
Yeah,
smelled a little less smoky in the air this morning, I would say.
Yeah. Do you know where the smoke is coming from that's been affecting us?
I don't either. I'm gonna look into that. I'll find out.
Okay.
Maybe say something on the air tomorrow morning about that if I can figure it out. But now that the rain is here.
Yeah.
Phew. I will give the weather report. I'll also say that also in the studio with us this morning, Brandon Peterson, owner and president of Backwoods Solar, and Joyce Jowdy, community engagement and adult program coordinator for the East Bonner County Library. And good morning to you both.
Morning.
And let me tell you what's going on in our area, at least in the overhead portion of our area. We have today, there's an 80% chance of precipitation. It's not raining right now. It is currently 57 degrees outside, and the high today is only 63. Showers, thunderstorms possible after 5 o'clock this afternoon. Showers are likely tonight, and then patchy fog overnight. A little less likely chance of rain, about 60%. Tomorrow the high is 70 and a 30% chance of showers, and low down to 48 over Friday night. Slight chance of showers, and on Saturday it looks like probably we'll get some rain again. High of 68 and a 70% chance of showers. Let's see. Chance of showers on Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers on Sunday, and a 30% chance of showers on Monday. Let's see. It looks like that kind of...
That's our pattern?
Yeah, that pattern looks like it's going to continue, according to the National Weather Service. Sort of rain off and on. No days with like 100% chance of rain, just in the 50s, 60s, down to the 20s. But I don't know. Guess we're going to get a little rain here.
Yes, we are.
Seems like.
No more 80s and 90s and... those awful hundreds.
Do you think we've seen the last of 80 degrees?
I do.
I kind of think so, too.
Yeah.
80. Yeah. 90 for sure.
90 for sure.
Okay. We might see 80 again.
You think so? I don't.
It'd be great if it would be 80 on Saturday, since that's our program.
Well, now, why would that be? Why would it be so great, Joyce, if it were 80 degrees on Saturday? Something special going on?
Because we're going to have the National Connections program and the Sandpoint Library Garden. But if it does rain, like Jack has forecasted, we'll go inside. So we won't cancel. But we're hoping to still have the program out in the garden.
Cool. Is this something you do year round, by the way?
Yes, we do it year round. Okay. It's one Saturday each month where we pick totally different topics, from anything from music to gardening to health programs to art programs, whatever, all different topics and different time slots through the day, 10 to 4, and different modalities of learning and exploration. And this is the one for September, is this Saturday, the 14th.
And they're oftentimes outdoors when the weather permits.
In the summertime, we try to do it in the garden whenever we can. And this was going to be our last try for the season. We figured we couldn't make October work, but we thought we would in September.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you get a nice break in October, too. Bah, whatever. Okay. So tell us about what we're going to experience this Saturday at the library.
Well, this Saturday for Natural Connections at 10 o'clock, we're going to have Living with Renewable Energy. And you had already introduced Backwoods Solar. He's going to chat with us a bit today about renewable energy. And you'll get an opportunity to hear way more on Saturday. And then also at 12, we're going to have Mastering Herbaceous Plant Care. So learning how to take care of your perennials with Jen Jensen from the Extension office. And then at 1 p.m., we're going to learn about soil. You know, how do you do soil tests and what do they tell you and how does that affect what you do to amend your soil, how to make your soil fertile? And then at 2:30, we're going to do wild and seasonal bouquet design. And that will be brought to us by All Seasons Garden and Floral, Nancy, the owner there. And the focus is going to be essentially on making bouquets that are from what you find in the area. You know, so not necessarily your cultivated plants. There'll probably be a few of those too. But what do you have naturally in your landscape to create, bring the beauty indoors? And we'll actually be making and designing, and she'll give us tips on how to do that. And you get to take your bouquet home. And that's one of the things we love to do whenever we can, is have a hands-on component. So that's the quick and dirty lineup.
Cool. The Living with Renewable Energy lineup, or the Living with Renewable Energy presentation, that's you like kind of, you're giving a talk, a lecture, or what?
We're going to give a brief overview, and we're assuming there's going to be a lot of questions. So yeah. we're there to kind of let the... We'll start it off, but we'll let the questions steer the discussion.
So okay.
We're going to have a sample system with us, show everybody how off-grid system works and some of the things you can do with it and some of the newer technology that's out there now. And, kind of just let everyone know that it exists and what some of the capabilities are. And then from there, people can ask us questions on things they want to do or ideas they have and kind of go from there.
Cool.
And that'll be also not just solar. A lot of times people think they only deal with solar since it's backwoods solar, but also, you know, micro hydro.
Yeah, we're going to have a sample micro hydro turbine there. We're going to have a sample wind turbine. Wind is going to be connected to the system. I don't think we can make the hydro work, but at least we can kind of talk about how it works and see it. So we'll talk about all that and how it all works together.
Micro hydro.
Mm-hmm.
This would be... Like you have a creek running through your yard and you can put a little.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. All exactly right. That.
Mastering herbaceous plant care. These are, herbaceous. How do we pronounce it here in this country? Herbaceous or herbaceous?
Herbaceous.
Because it's the root being herb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So
I'm
there
just guessing.
Sounds like it to me.
Okay.
I say it with authority in the
phrase. Yeah. Yep. Sounded good to me.
Okay. But you're kind of leaning into the seasonal aspect because part of this is getting your plants ready for winter.
Right. Yeah. And then also learning about how you separate so you can propagate more for the future. She'll probably even be showing some, and I don't know, there might be a couple to take home. I don't really know for that one yet.
Cool.
And I'd like to do a shout out to Kelly Burt, our garden coordinator and seed library saving coordinator. She's the one that hooked us up for that program as well as for the bouquets at the end of the day. So
cool.
We work as a team at the library.
Are you a gardener, Joyce?
I grew up with a garden, but I haven't been able to have one in recent years. I like to support our farmers market.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
I figure go to the people who have that extra talent, but I always find it very fascinating and interesting.
I know, Carrie, you do a little gardening.
It's mostly my husband, though, that does the gardening.
Okay.
Yeah, very little vegetable, tomatoes, delicious tomatoes, but... lots of flowers. In fact, he was on the garden tour this year.
Oh, really?
Yes. Had 230 plus people walk through the backyard and look at his installations and flowers. Yeah.
Very nice.
Well, yeah, it was beautiful.
That's awesome. And the library was on the garden tour for the first time this year, too. I don't know if you got to catch that out.
Cool.
So,
Brandon, I should ask you, too. Are you a gardener?
Not really.
Okay.
We're trying to build a house right now, so we've
the garden kind of
canceled all other projects.
Yes, I understand. Okay. And
how about you, Jack?
As of this year, I am, I'm not the head gardener, but there is a garden at the place where I live.
The place where you live. Thank you, wife.
Yes.
Is it, like produce or? Flowers
mainly produce. We have some flower places for flowers around the area too, but the deer seem to like the flowers an awful lot. So
Yeah, that's an art, figuring out what can grow without feeding them.
That's right. Yeah, that's a presentation I'll be going to when that comes to the Natural Connections. We have to figure out how to pair stuff that the deer don't like with stuff that looks good. Okay. And then soil fertility is the next part of the presentation.
Yes, at 1
o'clock. It's kind of cool.
Yes, 1 o'clock, Nina Ekberg. She's a retired horticulturist, a master gardener, a certified arborist, a long list of skills. She even worked for Extension in other states. So she comes with a wealth of information. She's going to bring some sample soil tests. And we did a soil test at the library. I'm not sure if the results are in yet. We'll find out Saturday. Okay. And and also pH tests and things of that nature and how you read them. And she's going to do a hands-on demonstration. You're going to get your hands dirty and learn about soil firsthand.
Cool.
And learn how to increase the fertility. You know, if it does need a little something-something, how do you go about that and such forth?
It does... kind of makes a big difference from what I understand. Mm-hmm. Did you have your soil tested ever, Carrie?
No, we've never tested it.
Me neither, but I know people who have. Yeah, it seems like they learned something.
Yeah, then you know if you're acid or not. And I don't understand all that pH levels and that kind of thing.
Come on Saturday.
I'm thinking my husband may be very interested in both of these. If you're listening, Dan, I will bring this home.
And what type of soils you have, you know, is it clay or is it sandy? And she's going to help show you how to do that as well, determine that and what that means to what you can grow or how you grow.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in Sandpoint, you can have all of it in one city lot. You can have
absolutely.
Okay. And then one more, just to mention it, since we talked about everything else, the wild and seasonal bouquet design, which seems very cool. And then you can go home with a bouquet.
Yeah. And we'll probably get some of the materials from the garden and or around on the environment of the landscape. And I think she'll be bringing some too, so we have a good enough supply. And learn how to make your floral arrangements last longer. How do you pick what to go together and all that sort of thing. And then have something beautiful for your table this weekend when you leave.
Cool.
And if you're running short on flowers, you can just go to any weedy lot in town and fill your bouquet with tansy. Mm-hmm. And
And that's the thing is, what is the beauty around
Queen
us?
Anne's lace.
And just bring it inside to enjoy inside as well. And all these programs are free. They're open to the public, and you can come stay all day or just come to the segment that interests you.
We want to talk, especially with Brandon, more about renewable energy. And stay tuned, listeners. We will get back into that subject more in depth in just a little bit. But as long as you're here, Joyce, let's run down what else is going on this month, because it's a busy month at the library.
Absolutely. And it starts tonight. So everybody who's listening, 5:30 tonight, if it's raining, come on inside because we're going to have a Leadership Lessons I Learned from My Children program. Brent Baker, the founder of Elevate Now Consulting, he's also the executive director of the Pondere Economic Partnership. He's going to come out and do a talk. And because we know that hour is kind of always competing with dinner, we're going to have a light, emphasis on the word light, meal for you to partake of while you're listening to him. And you know, Carrie, I you've been a leader in our community. Well, Jack, you have too. But, a lot of times. And this is going to really help people who are current leaders or who aspire to be leaders.
I think that's a great idea.
And even if you're an older youth, you know, a teen, you know, and you're thinking about, hey, maybe I want to go into politics or, hey, maybe I want to become a CEO, you know, or president of a company like Brandon here or, you know, just a leader in your community or your family, anything like that. Mm-hmm. And he's going to explain, you know, there's a lot of money, he says, put into these leadership trainings all over the world. And a lot of times it isn't even worth anything, so to speak. And he's going to essentially debunk that and figure out, you know, deconstruct that. And what is it that really does make a good leader? And some of those lessons that he learned from his children. And then he always tags on, and grandchildren. So that'd be 5:30 to 7:30 tonight.
Tonight. Yes. Registration September recommended?
12th. Yes, mm-hmm. but, you know, you're mm-hmm. more than welcome. We just yeah. want, he kind of wanted to have a sense of how many people. So mm-hmm. you feel free to still go on and register, but don't worry about that. Just mm-hmm. come on down at 5:30 and I'll go 5:30 to 7:30 tonight, the 12th.
Cool. And then next Thursday, a week from today, what's...
That would bring us to September 19th.
Uh-huh. You're right.
Oh,
yes.
Wait, that's a Wednesday. Sorry. You said Thursday. Hang on.
What did I... Yeah, I did say Thursday. Okay. Perhaps I'm mistaken. Okay, well, you lead. You tell me, Joyce, what comes up next? After Natural Connections this weekend on Saturday, what's the next big event at the library?
Wednesday, September 19th is actually a busy day. We got two things happening.
I think it's Thursday, Joyce.
I'm sorry.
I hate to correct you, but it's...
Oh, you're right.
Either way, it's either Wednesday the 18th. Or Thursday the 19th.
Oh my goodness. You caught a mistake uh-huh. on our sign. It's uh-huh. been confusing the whole community. This is bad.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm glad
okay.
I caught it now.
Here, listeners, get it out there. Okay. It is Thursday, September 19th. We have 12:30 to 2, okay. a Medicare workshop.
Oh, that's important.
Hmm. Importance yeah. of Medicare Annual Plan Review. And that is being put on by SHIBA, which is an unbiased Medicare information for the state of Idaho. It's through the Idaho Department of Insurance. So that is Thursday, September 19th at 12:30 at the Sandpoint Library. And for those of you on Medicare or soon to be, you know, December is your time to change your plan. And they're going to go over how you know what to do and why it's so important to review what you have from year to year.
Okay.
And that night at 4 to 6 p.m., we're going back to the garden world, growing mm-hmm. great garlic. And Kelly set that one up as well. And we're going to have a presentation where you're going to learn about how to grow garlic, the different types of garlic, all of that sort of thing. And that'll be from Ben Roniger. I might pronounce this wrong, and I apologize if I do, Alishan's Ranch. Will be, you know, has cultivated many different types and varieties of garlic, and they're going to talk about the different kinds, and you'll even get to take some home to either taste or plant yourself and learn about the uses and the various different kinds.
Hmm.
They're interesting people because they go to Mexico, and I think they have growers down in Mexico for part of their garlic business.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And garlic, this is the time of year, right? You grow plant garlic in the uh-huh. fall or in the
yes.
winter, and then, okay. Well, makes perfect sense then. Good job, Kelly, for putting them in the September and not in the April, you know. Okay. okay.
Yeah, some things you got to plan ahead for, Jack.
Yes. Growing great garlic on Thursday, September 19th from 4 to 6. Okay. And then on, it looks like the next Thursday you've got an event as well.
So do I have it right that it's September 26th, Thursday?
According to this, yes. All calendars agree. It's Thursday, September 26th.
All right. For that one, we've got a switch again to emotional healing by way of forgiving. Some of you may have remembered Therese Lukens. Mm-hmm. She is a local author, and she was even on the radio station last year. Being interviewed about her book, A Heart's Journey for Forgiveness, which was a memoir. She's not going to be talking about her book per se, but she's going to be exploring how forgiveness can make a difference in emotional healing. And she's going to, you know, how does anger and resentment and bitterness, all of those things affect our health, our well-being, and how one can go about forgiving and why that's so important and how it's not about, you know, whether or not you're going to accept. It's not about forgetting,
mm-hmm.
you know, or anything of that nature. So it's really about taking care of your own self and in being able to do it here in a group to talk, learn about it. It is an actual workshop. It's going to be 5:30 to 8, so there'll be opportunities to participate and explore for yourself in a safe space how to reach that state of forgiveness. And a lot of these lessons she learned through her own experience of dealing with her father's suicide. And she's gone on to learn more, and she'll share some of her inspiring journey. But really the focus will be on how can individuals, how can communities learn to forgive.
Okay. And then rounding out the month, you have a another outdoor event, I'm guessing. Maybe outdoors, possibly, weather permitting. You have a mushroom foraging event?
And it's not weather permitting, so okay. Come prepared.
Okay.
We are going.
Okay.
This is, many of you know Art Church. He's been in Bonner's Ferry doing gardening programs, all sorts of different things. And we had him for a mushroom program a few months ago at the library, and we even went out to the garden and inoculated a bed with mushrooms. I haven't seen any yet. I guess it takes a while.
Yeah.
But people wanted to go out and do it in the wild since so many mushrooms do grow out here. So Kelly arranged with him for Saturday, September 28th. It'll be 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it's going to be out at a location, Trestle Creek Road. In Hope.
Cool.
And you can get more details on our website, ebonnerlibrary.org/events. And by the way, you can do that for all of these events we're talking about. And, or if you're looking for a more laundry list, you can always go up to the audience tab at our website and pull down, you know, if you're interested in adult programs like the, some of the ones we're talking about tonight, or children's programs or youth. And if you scroll down, I'll say upcoming events. And that way, if you don't know which day it is, you you can find it out that way. Or you can give me a call at 208-263-6930, extension 1103. And for the mushroom foraging, it's family friendly, but not dog friendly. And come prepared for the weather. And we'll be... Art will be leading us with, you know, going over some of the safety things, how you identify, and we'll be looking for mushrooms and seeing what there is. One of the unique things about this program that we're really excited to present, offer, I should say, is some transportation. You know, so many people find transportation challenging, and we don't want that. You know, and a lot of people use a spot bus to get to the library, and we don't want people to be limited and not be able to join in. So we'll be taking a van from both the Sandpoint Library as well as the Clark Fork. And if you need a ride, we can do that as long as this is required that you register in advance.
Uh-huh.
If you don't register in advance, there won't be any transportation for you. So we'll only be there if, you know, people register, and then we'll make sure you get there so that everyone can participate who would like to. And all of these that I've talked about today are all free.
Okay. That's awesome. Are you going mushrooming?
Of course.
You're going on. Okay, cool. Have you been out in the, hunting for mushrooms before?
I'm one of those that looks and learns not to touch
because
I don't trust my skill at it. You know, Art's been doing it a lot of years. And I'm like, well, that kind of looks like that. And that kind of looks like that. So I'm doing it more for general education purposes, but I rely on our experts to feed me.
Yeah. It's kind of a, I don't know if it's a local, specifically a local hobby, if we have more mushrooms out here or what. I didn't know anybody growing up who like went out picking wild mushrooms, but a lot of people do it out here.
Absolutely. There's a North Idaho, isn't it? Mycologicals group out of Coeur d'Alene, based in Coeur d'Alene. And, they post on Facebook a lot.
Yes.
And associated with others. And it's a year-round offering of mushrooms all over. Not just, you know, I always used to think it was just the fall you were going to go out after the first rains and stuff. That's what my dad used to do and go collect. But, so I think there's a lot of, what do you call them, mushroomers? You can't call them... Shroomers, because that's a different thing. But, yeah. anyway.
Yeah. Do you like mushrooms, Carrie?
You know, I grew up, like I said, eating my dad's wild mushrooms until I won't tell that story because it'll take away the charm of going out for mushrooms.
Okay.
But anyway, so I like morels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very tasty.
Mm-hmm. And some of those other like shiitake and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Brandon, are you a mushroom hunter?
I cannot stand the things. No, no kind whatsoever.
Okay, you won't be attending the event.
No.
Okay. We're going to talk, when we come back from a brief musical break, we're going to talk more with Brandon in particular, and I bet everybody has questions about renewable energy and solar power and the other kinds of renewable energy that you can learn about from Backwoods Solar this weekend, Saturday, September 14th, at the National Connections event at the East Barnard County Library. And right now, I'm going to play a song from 1954 that hit number one on the charts on this date 70 years ago. Would that be right? 54? Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a very popular singer's first number one hit. The singer... Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
First number one. Any any guesses as to what that would be?
Nope.
Okay.
Not a clue.
Okay. Here we go. Be right back with more on The Morning Show after this.
Three coins in the fountain, each one seeking happiness.
Old Blue Eyes, 1954, with Three Coins in a Fountain, his first number one hit on the Billboard charts. He'd been around for a little while, but I guess hadn't gone to number one until then, at the beginning or in the early days of a very long career in the music industry. We're here on The Morning Show. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm joined by Carrie Logan this morning in chair number two. We're joined as well by Joyce Jowdy, the Community Engagement and Adult Programming Coordinator for the East Barnard County Library, and Brandon Peterson, no relation, owner and president of Backwoods Solar, who's giving a presentation this Saturday at the library for Natural Connections. That presentation will start at 10 a.m. and he will be taking questions from those who choose to attend. And I guess we will do our best right now to ask some of you here on the air for those who maybe can't attend in person. Try to get a few of them out there. A little preview of what's coming up. You are Backwoods Solar, I guess. A little background on the business. How long is Backwoods Solar been in existence?
We have been in business 48 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and okay. We are the oldest solar and renewable energy retailer in the country.
In the country?
In the country.
Okay. That's...
I haven't looked further than that, but I'm going to guess it.
You know, yeah. Right.
Older than a lot of places, too.
Wow. Well, that's... we could do a show on just the history of that, I would think. How did the first, or I guess oldest existing solar energy retailer end up here in the North Idaho?
Well, actually, Steve and Elizabeth Willie, who are still around here, started it out of their home up Rapid Lightning Road, and it was there for several years. They started it really because they were into it and started having people ask them about it and what they were doing, so they would help people out and thought, hey, we should make a business out of this. So
yeah.
They did that for a long time, I think they kind of outgrew the house, so we moved. We're right behind Pack River Store now, so we didn't go too much further away. But
right,
we've been there since early 2000s, and quietly working in the background. I feel like
I've always kind of known it was there, seen either signs or seen it mentioned somewhere, and of course going out to the Pack River Store, you see it, but I had no idea it was. Yeah, had that kind of history to it.
Honestly, I didn't either. I used to drive by it every day and had no idea it was even there for years. It was definitely kind of a hidden little secret.
So when did you get involved, Brandon?
2018.
Okay. And just had you been? I don't know. What's your background?
I had done a little bit of solar back in the 90s in New Mexico. So I had some knowledge of it. I'd done a lot of electrical work, and so I knew a little bit about what was going on. And I'd been in the ski area for decades and wanted to do a little something different. And saw Backwoods and went and talked there and kind of went from there.
Yeah. At that point, it was not the original owner still at that point, right?
No, yeah. I'm actually the, I guess you'd say, third generation.
Yeah.
Steve and Elizabeth had sold it in the early 2000s to David Katz, who is another solar pioneer, who'd started about the same time as him, and he was in California. So, yeah, cool. he and I were partners for several years, and then he wanted to retire, so.
It seems like it's still very popular in this area to go out, to try and go off grid
It's surprisingly a lot more than I ever even really realized until I got more involved with it.
Do you think it's more? Is this something that's growing more and more popular? It is.
You know, we saw a huge surge in interest during the pandemic.
I bet
that was everyone getting more self-reliant.
Yeah,
and it got a lot more interest then.
Yeah,
and it's slowed down a little bit since then, but it's still growing.
Yeah, I guess other than people who are completely off-grid, do you have clientele, people who are interested in getting some solar power anyway?
We do a little bit of everything. So we're mostly off grid, but there's a lot of people who are grid tied, we call it, and want to do like a backup system. So when the grid goes down, they've got power, they keep the refrigerators running, keep lights on, things like that. A lot of people want to sell back to the grid and offset their bills. So we work with them. We do a lot of hybrid systems where you kind of mix and match things like that.
This business started in the 1970s and as focused mainly on solar power, I'm guessing.
Well, it actually started 76 and they were focusing because there weren't really solar panels available back then. So they started with micro wind turbines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then as solar kind of became an option, then it rolled over towards doing that.
Yeah. Because I was going to say that was about the first time anybody would have been exposed to the idea of, solar electricity was like the mid-70s, I think. But solar power has changed a lot since then. Technology continues.
The big Achilles heel for a long time was the energy storage. Mm-hmm. So the sun doesn't shine 24 hours a day, but you need the power. Mm-hmm. So, for years, for 100 plus years, it's been lead acid batteries, which have a lot of limitations. And really, besides, solar panels becoming more efficient and cheaper in the last several years, now we've got lithium batteries and some other new technologies coming that have really made life a lot easier to go off grid or just to store energy for your grid tied home when you need it.
Yeah. Wiring a solar powered home is it vastly more complicated than wiring a home that is tied to the grid?
No. Our business model is we don't actually do any of the installations ourselves. Yeah. It's almost all DIY people, and we're there to give them everything they need so that they can do it. So if you've got any experience with any electrical work, we can walk you through it. If you're mechanically inclined, we can walk you through it. If you're not any of those, it's a little more challenging, but we can help you out with that. And we've got people who are on the phones 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, and they pick up any call and they will help anyone with any issue they've ever had for the lifetime of their system. So we offer schematics, get you started. So if you do a system, we can get the schematic for you. You can see exactly how it's wired. You can call up later and say, where does this red wire go?
Yeah.
And we'll work it out with you and figure out how to do that. So
Can you do in our area, in our climate, can you live off of just solar power year-round, or at some point you have to be supplemented?
It's pretty tough to do just solar year-round. Come wintertime, there's a few months you're going to need to supplement with a generator of some sort. A lot of people up here who are full-time year-round like to look for a creek, like we talked about the micro hydro. Yeah. Even if it's a lot of people, there's a lot of seasonal creeks. So, you know, come fall, we start getting the rain that just like today.
Yeah.
And those creeks start picking up right as we start losing some of the sunshine. So then you go to primarily microhydro for the winter. And then when that creek starts to dry up, that's right around the time the sun starts coming up more. And,
Isn't it funny how that works?
Yeah.
The microhydro thing, that's very cool. Is that something that's in some way new or emerging?
It's not new. It's a little bit it's a little bit niche because you need a creek. Not everyone's got that on their property. So you do need something with some water flow and some drop to generate the power you need. So
I mean, I guess I was going to say height. Yeah, people have been using water to power things for longer than almost anything.
So. As I say, is this anything like the water wheel?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not. These aren't quite their but you don't need a whole lot of drop. We can do, you know, power with as little as like 15 feet of drop on your property. So, but you do need some moving water to make it work. So, and the good thing with those is even if you've only got, say, 15 feet of drop, you're only making a couple hundred watts of power. You're making that 24 hours a day. So that just goes into your battery banks. And, and so you can pull power when you need it and you got a lot of time to recharge.
Huh. Do you need any kind of like permit to, you know, to install something like that on a creek? Yeah.
No comment. You should.
Okay.
A lot of people do it just kind of a little drop. The water, really, you're not taking a lot of water out of the creek.
Yeah.
And it goes right back into the creek. So it doesn't really affect much wildlife or downstream water or anything like that. So,
Go ahead, Carrie. Yeah.
Well, I was wondering about the difference in the size of batteries between the old style, like the car battery is what pops up in my head, versus the lithium. So if you used to have this huge bank of old batteries, what size are you looking at when you convert to the lithium?
By weight and space, you're taking up less than half of what for the amount of energy. Mm-hmm. They're a lot lighter, they're a lot more compact, they don't off-gas, so, you know, when a lead-acid battery's charging, there's flammable gas and corrosive gas, so you always have to make sure you're venting that to the outside. Lithium batteries, pretty much the cells themselves are sealed, so a lot smaller, a lot more compact, and you could put them pretty much anywhere.
Is there any issue for the person who is transitioning from the old style battery to the new battery and wiring or whatever?
Well, there's no big issues. The voltages that the batteries run at are slightly different and what they need to charge. So you have to reprogram your equipment so that you're properly charging the lithium batteries. But it's just about a lot of the older equipment that's out there still has the adjustability that you need to get us to where you need, you know, to properly take care of the lithium batteries. All the newer equipment pretty much these days already has lithium in mind. So it's just a matter of just setting those up right for the chemistry you're using.
Yeah. A friend had a backcountry ski lodge, Caribou Mountain Ski Lodge, up Caribou Creek Road. And he built his place and it was all off-grid, the whole thing with huge bank of the batteries and... Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Asking about wind power, too. My observation of living here for almost 40 years, as we have had increasing winds over the last 20 years, that we didn't get wind like we do now. Mm-hmm. So does that contribute to the success of wind power here? Or talk about wind power.
Well, yes and no. Wind, I'd say, is probably our third most popular item, because that's a little bit even more specific on the conditions you need. You don't want a big, heavy, short windstorm, because the turbines can only handle certain speeds.
Yeah.
So you want it like a nice steady breeze, a good steady wind. So you do need to find somewhere, ideally to make it worthwhile, you have somewhere that kind of have a a constant wind, like a mountaintop, something like that, where it's a little more consistent.
Well, okay. Joyce, did we answer all of your, did Brandon answer all of your questions as well?
Yes, except I do want him to share a little bit about something really cool that he's, I was telling you guys beforehand, that they've installed to help our greenhouse at the library. So if he, you know, if you could say a little bit about that, Brandon.
Yeah, actually I can give you a little bit of history. A lot of the early adopters of solar were marijuana growers way back in the day.
Okay, I didn't know that. No, we're not growing that at the library.
No, but what they needed was a power source to, well, they needed to cool greenhouses a lot of the times.
Okay,
and so one of the early selling points. This is before me.
Yeah,
was solar direct fans. So you could run your greenhouse, solar power will run the fan, keep the ventilation going in there. So that's been a long time use of solar. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking with Joyce at the library and talk about what we want to do for our presentation, we talked about things that they could use there, whether it's water pumping or something like that. And Kelly actually brought up the fact that the greenhouse gets too hot. So I said, hey, we got a plan for that. Okay. So 2 weeks ago, I think, we went in and we installed a solar direct fan, a thermostat, and a solar panel on the greenhouse. So you can adjust the temperature that you want that fan to kick on. And again, if it's nighttime, it's probably cool enough so you don't need the fan running. But when the sun gets going, you know, I think it was, we measured 103 degrees in there at ground level, up a little bit higher in there. I think it was more like 110 when we were installing that fan. That's excessive. So
cool.
So yeah, put a fan in there, and I mean, within a few minutes, you could feel the temperature dropping in there. So.
Wow. Okay.
And so that'll automatically turn on when it hits a certain temperature.
And
when
as
you
long
set
as
it?
You didn't turn the switch off. Okay. So I showed Kelly how to run it.
Awesome. Hey, she's got a dial.
Okay.
So listeners, even if you can't come Saturday, feel free to come by the Sandpoint Library. Garden, because you'll be able to see the solar panel, and you can, and we'll end up having a sign, informational sign. We don't have that yet, but thanks so much, Backwoods Solar, for donating your time and putting that up. And because the garden is supposed to be a demonstration site, so this is one awesome way to add to it, so people can take and learn from that and what they could do maybe at their own place.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask. Is that an application that? See, there's a lot of homes, including mine, in Sandpoint that don't have air conditioning. And, of course, we realize we've experienced how hot it gets in the summers now. So is that an application that's useful for a homeowner like me to deal with the extreme heat in the summer times?
Yeah, I mean, you could do the fans put out a surprising amount of air. We have a 100-watt solar panel, which is 4 feet by 2 feet. Size, so it's not very large, and it'll blow the hair on your head back. I mean, it's a lot of breeze, so that'd be a super easy, super straightforward thing to do. But if you wanted to go to a larger system, I mean, we're running air conditioner off grid at our place right now, because when you really need the air conditioner is when the sun's out.
Yeah.
So we're not even really using the batteries; it's just going solar. You know, solar. Straight down to charge the battery, and then inverters pull the power out. So you could definitely go either way. But yeah, a solar direct fan is probably about the simplest thing you could do. So
Thank you.
And then the other thing that they've done that you can all see at any time for the next little while is at the library in the lobby. I'm sure you guys have seen there's the window display cases. So they've also put in a system, and I don't know if you want to share a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's just a little display system there. Talks about there's a diagram and key showing all the different components are and what we can do with it. I think we just have a few little funky lights running off of it right now. But just to give you an idea of what's involved and what a battery looks like and what some of the components are. So it's if you wanted to go there, we've got a little flyer there, talks about it as well. And I believe if there's a QR code you can scan with your phone that takes you to our learning center on our website, and you can we have just piles of articles on our learning centers that just talks about what you can do, what has been done, how everything works. So
I see that our old friend Rob from the Panada is waiting in the wings to talk about some upcoming events going on this weekend. So one more time, Saturday, September 14th at the East Bonner County Library. That is this Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. You can go and listen to a little presentation from Brandon and ask all the other important questions that we didn't get to this morning.
I'm actually going
to
have two of the guys who work for me who are actually smarter than I am. So I'll field the questions probably and let them answer.
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
And folks, remember tonight, leadership lessons I learned from my children will be at 5:30 at the Sandpoint Library as well. And then October 26th, we're going to be doing a creatives exchange. So folks, please, if you have a stockpile of materials, artist supplies, or whatever, and you want to try to get somebody else's, bring them on the 26th.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or ahead of time.
Okay.
More news on that in the future. Thanks so much for letting us.
Thank you, Joyce. Let's talk sometime in October about that.
I got one more thing.
Go ahead, Brent.
My two daughters are listening to this. Uh-huh. We're very excited. So hi, Adeline. Hi, Lumi. Love you, girls.
Hi to you both. We're going to play something now by Ty Herndon, who is playing, I believe it's tonight, at the Panada Theater. He's a country musician, and I think this was a number one hit some, I don't know, 20 years ago or something like that. So we'll go with that, and Rob from the Panada will talk about some upcoming events when we return in just a few minutes. Thanks for listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY.
I thought I knew the girl so well. If she was sad, I couldn't tell. I missed the point. I missed the signs. So if she's gone, the fault is mine. I know. A whole lot of little things, and even though I could list them one by one, she would still.